gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on earth!
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Another day. We got a couple more comics. Me and Christy, we're going to start off today. She's going to be reading House of Secrets, number one. This is from October of 1996. Again, this is one of the first series that I collected back when I was hardcore into the Vertigo stuff. So we'll let her go ahead and take over and tell us about this comic.
Okay, so starting out with House of Secrets. You basically see a guy sitting outside of it looks like a normal old Victorian house, you know, two stories, lots of windows, and he somehow gets sucked inside, like something's dragging him, and he doesn't really want to go in. And then it skips over to, I believe, one of the main characters, Rain, who is hitchhiking from, I don't know where she's coming from, but she's going to Seattle. And she gets in a car with a man, and he asks why she's, like, if her parents know where she is, because she looks really young to him. And she basically explains that her father had raped her, so that's why she was running away, and that other men who she had been getting rides from were trying to rape her, too. So she's really defensive in the beginning towards him. They stop at a diner and she drinks some coffee, and then he goes to sleep in the car and talks about how he is acting like her dad some, was being overprotective of her. Then it flips back to the guy who had been pulled into the house, and it talks about that the house is kind of alive itself, and that I don't really know how to explain it, but it kind of just says that your soul has courses, and inside of this house is where your soul basically unfolds and you remember everything that you might want to try to forget. And then it goes into a courtroom of the Court of Secrets, which is what the house is.
I think there's a bunch of ghosts in the house, and that's what they're talking about, the Court of Secrets, and all the ghosts that's judging you.
Yeah, it's a bunch of ghosts.
Basically, this house is, the house itself has secrets in it. Each of the ghosts has their own different secrets, but whenever you go into it, they know anything that you try to keep secret, the ghosts know. And they're going to bring it out, and they're going to put you on trial for it. They're going to make you own up to whatever you did.
Mm-hmm. Then it flips back to Rain, and she basically gets out. I think she might be in Seattle. I'm not exactly sure where she ends up at the end. But she goes into a bar. And there's a band there called Nightmare of Reason. And they dedicate a song to her, which it's called Infection. Which, whenever you read it, it sucks horribly. And then there's a girl named Tracy who is overly in love with one of the band members, Eric. And she really wants to see him, but they never let her go backstage to meet him. So she basically runs after Rain and takes her to the house where all the ghosts are. And she says that she's been staying there for a while after she left from her dad's. And they just start living there. Then it goes to that night and Rain starts hearing the door slamming. So she has a knife in a bag that she takes out, and she kind of goes outside and falls asleep on the front porch. And whenever she wakes up, she goes back, Tracy had waken her up, and whenever she goes back in, she gets a cup of coffee, and I don't really know how to explain the top part, but it looks like an attic. And inside it says, "Daddy, Daddy, come play with Maddie," which throughout the entire book you keep hearing that. It keeps saying that throughout the entire book. And so then they go down to a dining room and they talk, and Tracy basically explains why she had been there. Her mom had left when she was little, and her dad started, touching her, inappropriately. So she ended up leaving and started living in that house. Then Rain talks about her family, and she explains how her dad was really big into, I assume he was in, the mafia or something, because he was a really big, political leader type person, kind of in the underground. And she explains that her dad had, been selling kiddie porn, and he took pictures of her and her brother naked and made them do things together before he actually raped her. So, that's why she had ran away. Then they go out of that house, and they go over to where the band practices from the night before, the Nightmare of Reason. And it starts out with Eric and Ben fighting because of the song Infection. Nobody liked it. And I think they had a gig coming up, and they needed a new song for it. Eric wanted to do that, but nobody else wanted to. Then it skips back to the night, and there's an old lady who's getting sucked in to the court. And she goes in, and they say that she's a witness to whatever secret the old lady had. And they basically explain who all the people are in the court, all the ghosts there. And then she sits down next to in the witness stands, and she witnesses the secret that the old lady had, which was the old lady's sister was confined to a wheelchair, and she had drowned her sister like a mercy killing. And she kind of just played it off that it was an accidental death. So they're trying to figure out if she should be punished or not, or just not remember it. And they ended up punishing her and sending her down to the basement, which was basically, a fiery death, hell, basically. And that is where book one ends.
Okay. So, did you like book one? I mean,
yes. Stuff like that is something that I actually love reading. Honestly, I think it's a really good I hope it's a good series, but I think it's a really good start out for it. Because you really get to know the characters and what they've been through. And then you get to see how the past plays out throughout the entire book. Because, if Rain had been all happy, she would have never met Tracy or anything, and this never would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, it's a really good series, and I really do recommend it for all of our listeners to read it.
Yeah, this came out, this was right after they did The Sandman with the more adult stories,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't really show a lot of the adult stuff, but it does talk about it, and it does put it into perspective there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the series. I got every one of them. So, hopefully, you'll keep reading. Maybe we can do a whole series of these.
Mm-hmm. I hope we can.
Well, we'll get into my book then. I read a newer one, Loki, Agent of Asgard, number one. This one just come out. Like I said, about a month ago or so. It's not too bad. Pretty much, I think it starts off right around the movie. If you've seen the second Thor movie, I think this takes place right after that. It's pretty much right around about Loki trying to... The main point of the story is that whenever you're a god, especially in the olden days, the more people believe you are something, you're kind of locked into that. So, he was a god of mischief, so the more people that actually believed in this, the more mischief it made him, and so he became more of an evil type of god. And this is him, he's trying to go back and wipe out all these old memories and these old stories so that way maybe he could become a better god than what he used to be. So the book starts out, he's in the shower and he's singing a song from Wicked. Change some of the words around, it's The Wizard and I. And he gets kind of surprised by his mom, the All-Mother, which is his adopted mother, and a couple of her friends. And they give him a sword and give him a mission that he needs to go into the Avengers mansion, Stark Tower. And there's a memory or there's something that he needs to get out of the tower for them. So it jumps ahead a little bit. You see him running up the side of the building. They show where everybody's in the building. They got Thor in there. He's drinking. Captain America and Iron Man's in there, you know, practicing their fighting stuff. Bruce Banner's just working. And then Hawkeye and Black Widow's just relaxing, watching TV. So he goes running up the building, trying to get in. Thor's able to kind of, it looks like it smells him. And he turns around and throws his hammer at Thor, knocks him off the side of the tower. He goes falling down, and Hawkeye and Black Widow sees him falling. So Hawkeye hops over there and shoots out a grappling arrow to save him. Pulls him back up, gets him into the room. And, you know, they're trying to interrogate him, going back and forth. Everybody shows up, and Loki pretty much tells them that he's on here for a mission, and it's a top-secret spy thing. Kind of puts some of the blame onto Thor about everything that's going on. Thor is going to kill him, pretty much tells everybody to go ahead and kill him, and they're like, this isn't what we do, you know, we capture people, we're not trying to kill anybody. So Thor's like, well, I'll do it myself then. And Hawkeye tries to shoot an arrow at him, and by accident, Bruce Banner steps in between them. And he gets shot with the arrow, so that turns him into the Hulk. So while Hulk is fighting with all the rest of the Avengers, Loki takes it just to walk out and go into their computer room, download all his file, and erase everything about him that's on their files. He got all any notes they had on him, anything like that, he erases. Well, the All-Mother had given Loki a sword. I don't remember exactly what it was called, but basically he stabs Thor with it, and it draws out the evil that was in Thor, that had been plaguing Thor, which was the reason that Thor wanted to kill Loki instead of, you know, capturing him. He pulls out this evil black essence and puts it into a bottle, and sits around with, you know, Thor ends up thinking he figures out what's going on with it, and, once he figures out what's going on, you know, everything gets done. They got him tied up. You see Loki's chained up in the prison area and Thor's sitting next to him. And it's kind of cool because he walks up and he asks him, he's like, Thor asks Loki, he's like, tell me now, is there time for a drink before you make your inevitable escape? And he's like, there's always time, you know. So, he takes, drinks a beer with him, it looks like, and then finally it jumps ahead a little bit and you can see that Loki's escaped. And he's given this black essence stuff to the All-Mother. When she lets him go, you see him pour out this black essence stuff, and it turns back into an evil Loki from, like, the past. So now it looks like there's two Lokis maybe running around. And that's where the book ends. Like I said, I read the book. I'm not a big magic Thor Loki guy for Avengers and all this. I watched the new Thor movie and I loved it. I mean, it was one of the. I went in there expecting just to hate the movie, and it was really, really good, really well done. The comics, though, they got a few funny parts, but it's just, you know, like I said, it's not for me. So I don't think I'll actually continue with this series. It's good to give it, a try out, read a couple of the issues if you like, the Avengers and stuff like that. And I guess that'll be it then for this week. I'm sure we'll do a couple more before we actually get them posted up on the web, but have fun, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
some place that ain't in a dream. In heaven where no mortal man's ever been. And you may never see my face again. With the eyes of a fool and a heart full of fire, I'm climbing a mountain that keeps getting higher.